Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many love him this morning. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you this morning. I'll have you standing. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you once again, Father, that we can come this morning, Lord. Lord, just worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, to be drawn closer to you, Lord, to have our failures and our faults, our sins just washed away from us, Lord. Oh, God, how we love you and we thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to just take the time today to just completely surrender to you, Lord, and let you have your way, Father. And Lord, this day, Lord, that we dedicate, we set it aside for you and for your service, Father, may you just be honored. May you be glorified. Lord, may your church reflect you and your great character. Lord, may all things that are done here be done, Lord, in your perfect will, Lord, in an order of your scripture. And Lord, may it be pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you just bless your children this morning. I pray you help each of us, Lord, to just pull on your word this morning, expecting, Lord, that we will receive what we have need of. Lord, and believing, Lord, that you will provide our daily bread. Lord, we just thank you for our brothers and sisters that have labored this morning, those that have had a part in this service and making everything just go right behind the scenes, Lord. We know that it's an effort, but Lord, may you just bless them, bless each one, Father. Bless those that could not be here this morning, those that are maybe listening in, Father. Lord, may they just be able to push aside, Lord, any distractions, Father, and things that would try and take their attention away from you and your word. And Lord, may you be able to speak to them this morning, Lord, just lip to ear, Father, just in such a clear way. Lord, we know when you speak, Lord, it's like a lion in a jungle, oh God. It's like that the king of the jungle crying out with that mighty roar, Lord, and we know that there's no sound like it. Lord, when you speak to our hearts, it's a sound that has a certain sound, Lord. We know it may be a still small voice, but it has power behind it. Amen. And it has a strength and a clarity, Lord. And there's no question that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has spoken. So, Lord, that's what we desire this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in that way. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to us, Lord, in that way. And we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. We thank you. Lord, you're a mighty God. You're a mighty King, Lord. You're a wonderful Father. And, Lord, I pray that you just meet every need, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just read a scripture this morning. Again, while we're standing. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read two verses here in Hebrews chapter 2 and then Proverbs chapter 3. Hebrews 2:13 says, "Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God, God hath given me." Amen. The children which God hath given him. And of course, we know that that's Paul speaking. The entire Gentile dispensation was entrusted to him. Amen. So we are part of those children. Amen. Amen. He trusted in him, and we will as well. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Amen. Familiar scripture that's packed with power that we want to speak about this morning. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Just want to greet you in the name of the Lord and just give him, Brother Doug, a little break today, a little time off. So we just pray that he would, amen, be able to get rested and rejuvenated a little bit. Amen. And trust that the Lord would have something here for us. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Like our brother Juan said, we just don't want to take for granted what we have, and We just appreciate any opportunity to come to the house of God, amen, and to just fellowship one with another, and most of all to fellowship with Him, amen. And, we talked about it, but how soon we forget, you know, last year when the pandemic kind of was taking hold, and you know, we spent all that those times where we shut down our services, you know, and we couldn't gather anymore, and my, we really appreciated it then, didn't we? We thought, oh, you know, can't wait to get back into church, but, you know, sometimes how quickly we forget, amen, when we lose what we had, and we begin to take it for granted again, amen. I suppose that's just human nature, right? Just like procrastination, it's human nature. Amen. And, you know, whenever we have it easy, we begin to lax and to, you know, not press quite as hard. And that's why, you know, Israel, they could never stand prosperity. They would always get lax and begin to go after the things of the world and forget where those blessings came from. Amen. But the bride in this hour won't forget. Amen. She's mindful. She can never forget the one who's the love of her life. Amen. And so I believe that, you know, in this age of lukewarmness, there can be a people that are hot and on fire for God. Amen. There can be a people, and there will be a people according to the word. There will be a people. Amen. They can't wait for the church doors to open. They can't wait to come and to fellowship, and amen. They can't wait to hear the word of God preached, and they're on fire for God. Amen. They want Him above all else. They live out that song that take the whole world but give me Jesus. Amen. That's their life. That's not just a song, but that's truth. Amen. And it's being lived out. Amen. And I believe I'm speaking to some of those this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, well, that's not me. Well, you can be. Amen. Amen. You just need to come into His presence and let Him set you on fire. Maybe the fire's dimmed out this morning, but He can reignite that fire in your life. Amen. Amen. That's what we want. Amen. I don't want to be a halfway lukewarm believer. Amen. Well, who wants to be halfway at anything? You know, God said He would spew that out of His mouth. He hates that. Just that in-between wishy-washy. I call myself a Christian, but I'm, you know, I'm up, I'm down, I'm in, I'm out, right? But we should be on fire for Him. Amen. We should be living for Him with everything that's within us. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not our sermon this morning. Everybody all right this morning? Amen. Everybody happy to be here? Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I would like to just speak a little bit about this subject of trust. And, you know, my topic, I guess, or my subject title would be Trusting Jesus. Amen. Or You Can Trust Him. Amen. And the Bible says here in Proverbs that we are to trust the Lord with all of our heart. And, you know, this is like one of those scriptures, this proverb. It's one of those maybe that we've memorized since we were, you know, if we grew up in church, since we were in Sunday school or we were little children, you know, it's the type of scripture that's written on a child's Bible, right? That we've heard all of our lives, perhaps. But yet, it's absolutely God's truth. Yes. Amen. And we must do it. Amen. And if we find ourselves not doing it, we find ourselves in trouble. Amen. So I want to talk about trust, and I want to talk about faithfulness. Amen. And what it means to be trustworthy. Because if we're to trust Him, He must be trustworthy. Amen. So what does that mean to fully trust in Him with all of thine heart? Amen. To fully trust. It doesn't say part of your heart. It doesn't say part of your life, or only when it makes sense to you, or only when it's convenient. But it's all. Amen. It's complete. It's total. Amen. So let's start out by saying that you can trust him. Amen. Make no mistake about that. Amen. Our Lord is trustworthy. Amen. Above anyone else, there's no one else in the universe that you can trust like you can trust Jesus. Amen. We can trust him completely in every facet, in every part of our life. There's nothing that we can't fully trust him in. He is worthy of our trust. Amen. He has such character of faithfulness that's beyond anything that we can ever even imagine. His faithfulness. Amen. That character, such integrity. Now we're learning about it. We're experiencing it. But it's so high and mighty, amen, that we can have confidence in him. We don't have to hold back. You know, with people, we hold back. Amen. We protect ourselves. We have reservations. Amen. We reserve, and some people were less reserved than others. But with him, we can't hold back. Amen. We shouldn't hold back at all with him. We give him our whole heart, our whole being, every thought. Amen. All of thine heart is what the scripture says. That is a command. Amen. And then I want to point out that it says, trust him with thy whole heart, but lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. What it's doing is it's showing you the opposite. Sure. Right? Lean not unto thine own understanding. So this leaning on our own understanding is the opposite of trusting in the Lord. Amen? We are commanded. This is a command not to do it. Right. Amen. Amen? If you are leaning to your own understanding, you're breaking the Word of God. Right. Amen. This is not just a child's fable. Amen? This is the Word of God. Our understanding is incomplete. It's flawed. It's tainted by sin. It's affected by our flesh. Amen? The fall of man into sin has made our understanding sinful. Amen? Our reasoning, amen, it's not adequate. It's not just that it's limited in what we know, our knowledge. Certainly that's true, right? We don't have all knowledge of everything. But it's that fallen nature. It's part of our makeup. Our understanding is self-centered. Amen. Our understanding is focused on what I want, me. Amen. That's our understanding. It's a broken, the understanding of God is so much higher. Amen? Amen. I mean, for example, we're told that the way up is down. Well, that's not our understanding. Amen? Our understanding would be the way up is up. If I want to go up, I'm going up, right? But we're taught that, no, if you humble yourself, then you will be exalted. The way up is down. That's opposite to our understanding. Our self-centered human thinking and understanding is, I'm going to go up. Amen. Jesus told that parable, you know, don't choose the highest seat in the place, right? Let someone else lift you up to your right position. And so our human thinking doesn't think that way. Our flesh wants to be exalted. Amen? So it tries to exalt itself and puts its own needs first. That's our understanding. But we're not to be leaning on that. We're to put the needs of others first, even when it doesn't make sense. Amen? You know, when Elijah came to that widow woman, amen, and said, bake me a cake. Her understanding was, this is all the food we have. Amen. My flesh says, you're crazy. This is the total of our subsistence right here. But yet he said, trust the Lord. with thine own heart, all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. If she had leaned to our own understanding, she would have said, no, this is for my son. Right? Seemed like the right thing to do, holding it back for her son. She didn't even look like she was being selfish. But it was a self-centered attitude, right? Instead, what God wanted her to do was to trust him. Amen. Amen. Even when it made no sense at all. Trust. Trust me. Amen. God was speaking to her through his prophet, saying, trust me. And when she did, then she reaped the benefits of it. Amen. Then God was able to bless her. Amen. Provide for her needs. Why? Because she didn't lean to her own understanding. Amen. So instead, we lean on him and trust in him, trusting that he's working it out for our good. Amen. If we try and reason out, why did this happen and why is this happening to me and why am I the only one that, why did I go through this and why? Amen. We try many times when we've gone through hard trials in life to figure out what's going on, what's the purpose, why is this happening to me? Amen. Instead of trusting Jesus. Amen. A Christian doesn't gain strength by entertaining questions. Amen. A Christian gains strength by trusting. Things in this life happen. Right? Hard things. Hard trials. And if we get caught up in why? Why is this happening? Why did this happen to this loved one? Why did I lose this one? Why am I going through this? There's no strength in that. Amen? All you're doing is trying to satisfy your understanding. But you can't gain any strength from it. The only strength is to be gained in trusting him. Amen. Amen. So the scripture gives us this mental image. And it says, leaning on thine own understanding. Right? Leaning, like you're leaning on something. I'm leaning on it. And it doesn't support my weight. Right? If I'm going to choose something to lean on, that's probably the wrong thing. Yeah. Amen? Leaning on something, you're trusting it. Right. You're allowing it to carry your weight. When times get hard and you're tired and worn down, when the trials of the enemy have come against you so hard, it's where you go for rest. Right? It's a refuge. It's something that sustains you and holds you. That's leaning. It's something that will support you. Amen? It carries and holds. I mean, common sense will tell you in the natural to be careful what you lean on. Amen? Don't lean on a microphone stand. It's not built for it. Right? Some people that don't like to work like to lean on their shovel. Amen. We used to have that joke running, and, you know, we used to live in California, right? We had Caltrans, which was the Department of Transportation out there, and we would joke, you'd go driving by a work site and there'd be one guy down there digging and everybody else is standing around leaning on their shovel. Right? Well, you better be careful what you're leaning on. Amen? Something that can support you. Something that can bear the weight. You know, people have great confidence in guardrails, safety rails. But you ever seen those videos when like the safety rail fails or something and all the people just go falling? It's terrible, right? Not only because it's terrible that they're falling, but it almost seems worse. Why? Because there's a broken confidence, right? They were trusting. They were trusting that those safety rails would hold them. That's what they're there for. Amen. Guardrails to keep you safe. When you go on a roller coaster, you're trusting, man, that those little tiny wheels that are holding onto that rail, that they're going to hold. Amen. You're trusting those rails. Some people have more faith than others. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, up here in the Grand Canyon, they've got that bridge that goes out over the Grand Canyon, and it's glass. You ever seen people walking out on a glass bridge? And some people, they can't even do it. They can't even walk. They're crawling, right? Because they're so afraid. You got to have faith. Amen. That bridge that goes out over the Grand Canyon, I think they said it's something like 4,000 feet, like above something. I don't know. It's way up there. And it's got a glass bottom, and you walk out there, and you better have confidence. Amen? You better trust that engineer that designed that thing. I think they said that thing, that there's like 100 million pounds of steel in it. Amen? Well, it better be, because it's got a hold. Right? There's a trust. Amen? Many of us, we don't think about when we drive over a bridge. Maybe some of us do. Maybe some of us are neurotic that way. When you drive over a bridge, is the bridge going to hold? You just trust, right? When you get in an airplane, you just trust the physics that this piece of metal is going to take me into the sky and get me back safe again. Amen? These are all things that we just trust. Amen? Some to varying degrees, right? Some we worry about more than others. But we all lean on things. We all lean on something or someone in our lives. To some people, they see religion as a crutch. Right. Amen. I've heard that, right? Where, oh yeah, you just serve God and that's just a crutch because you're not strong enough to walk through life. Well, they're leaning on their own understanding. They're leaning on something too. They just don't realize it. Amen. They're leaning on a little piece of bamboo stick that can break at any time. But I'm leaning on the unfailing cross. Amen. Amen. I want my life to rest on something that's proven. Amen. And this word is proven. God is, He's proven Himself. He's faithful. He's true. He'll never fail. He can't fail. He can't go back on His word. He cannot lie. He is true to every promise. That's what we lean on. That's what we rest on, brother, sister. Amen. The one who made me knows all about me. And He knows what I need, and I'm on His mind. He has thoughts towards me. Amen? Hallelujah. I know I can trust Him. Hallelujah. I'm not leaning on the arms of, or on the arm of flesh. I'm not leaning on my own made up understanding of what I believe God is. But I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus according to His eternal word. Amen. Amen. Let's just want to read a little statement here. A man running from the presence of the Lord. He says it's a popular way with people and it's easy to take the way where everybody can pat you on the back and say you're a good fellow, and the world will look upon you, and it's easy to go the popular way, he says. But when you have to do something different, when you have to stand on your conviction of what you know to be the truth, that's where the hard part, that's where the rub comes right there. Oh, as we've often sang that old song, how easy while sailing this sea and its calm to trust in the strength of Jehovah's great arm. But oh, let the waves begin to blow. Let the wind blow and whip up the waves. Then what do you do? Something like I told one time that a lady said back in the horse and buggy days, said the horse run away with her going from church. And said, what did you do? She said, I trusted the Lord until the lines broke. Said, that's the time to trust the Lord. Amen. Is after the lines broke. You're trusting in the lines until they're broke. Yes, sir. So we see that it's okay to trust in natural things as far as natural things go. But our ultimate trust is always in the Lord. Amen. We see this in this day when we speak of things like doctors and medicines and vaccines and things like that. We thank God for those and we trust them as far as they can go. But our ultimate trust is in the Lord. Yeah. Everything we do is unto the Lord. Yeah. We do as we are led of the Lord. And then we can have confidence knowing that He's got all things under control. Amen. That's what we're leaning on. That's what we're resting on. Amen. So when we talk about trust, trust means to place your confidence in something. Amen? So faith and trust go hand in hand. They work right together. Amen? Because if you have faith in something or someone, amen, we have faith in Him. If we have faith, then we will trust. Amen? Faith is to believe in someone or something's truthfulness. We believe that He is the truth. Amen? His word is the truth. And then out of that faith comes an action. Because faith without works is dead. And many times we think, we read that scripture, faith without works is dead. And we think, well, that means I have to be out healing the sick and raising the dead and things like that. And those are works of faith, no doubt. But what about just walking in trust? That is works of faith. Amen. Belief without reliance. Listen to this. Belief in God without relying on God is empty faith. Right. Amen. 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 You see, trust is committing. Amen. It's committing your confidence. It's a reliance. It's saying, God, my faith tells me that You are the one to supply every need. And so I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm only leaning one way. I'm leaning on one person. I'm leaning on one word, His word. Amen. So trust is the works that follow our faith. Amen. We trust Him. We trust His word. We trust His provided way of doing things, which is His word. Amen. And if we say we have faith, but we're relying on something else, then our faith is not in Him. Amen. Now, we can really get into something here with that. Amen. If we say we have faith, but we aren't trusting in His provided way, then what are we having faith in? Where is our faith placed? Amen. Now, I want to just speak to you here, and I don't want to... I hope you can follow me here for a little bit here. I want to just speak about the power of trust. Okay? Trust is powerful. It's a force. Amen? When you have confidence in something or someone or whatever, you place trust in it. There's a power behind that. Amen? Brother Doug has mentioned many times some of his experiences working in industry, and look, our Our lives are shaped by our experiences, and we go through things to learn and to have our character molded and shaped. And this is how we as Christians we grow. Amen. And so my life is certainly that way. As I worked in different organizations and had different experiences, that has shaped me as well as a Christian. Amen. And so I we're all that way. Amen. Our work, our jobs, that's how God shapes us and forms us, part of the way. Amen. And so I used to work in an organization where we had a boss and this lady was well liked and very trusted. She was trustworthy as a boss. I'm just speaking in natural terms, all right? She was trustworthy and everyone trusted her in that department. And that department ran really well. Teams were very productive. The head, there's always leadership groups and things like that. There's people that make decisions, and the people making decisions worked well in harmony with the people carrying things out, because at the top, the leader was trusted. Everybody in the organization knew her, and she made a point to connect with people, and they knew that if a decision was made, that she was thinking about them when that decision was made. That she, because she rose up from the ranks, from the lowest. She was actually started at the very, very bottom of that organization and went all the way through. And so everybody in that organization knew when she made a decision, she made that decision with an understanding of how it would impact them. And so they trusted her. And you wouldn't believe how far that trust would carry. I mean, you could go through some terrible things. There were things forced on her that she had to do, yet the whole organization weathered it because they trusted her.
Right.
And she would say, "We're going to get through this. We're going to do this together." And they believed her because she had built up this bank account, if I could call it that, of trust. Well, then she left, and a new boss came in. And guess what? It was exactly the opposite. Nobody trusted this guy, and he wasn't trustworthy. I'll tell you, he wasn't. It was for good reason. He thought about himself. Everybody knew that he was really just interested in whatever the next promotion was. He was interested in the next job at the next big thing. The reason everybody knew that is because he had done that every step of the way, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew when he made a decision, he was thinking about number one. And then, okay, it benefits everybody. But the main thing is, does it make me look good? It's not for the benefit of the department. Well, if it is, as long as it makes me look good. And that's just the way he was. I hate to say it. Nice guy. But nobody trusted him. And so what happened was, this began to filter down. And pretty soon you had managers and supervisors of different levels not trusting him, not trusting any decision that was made, second guessing each other. Things began to get harder and harder and harder. And work is hard enough. You have a job to do, right? You're doing a job and you have things and problems to overcome. But it's hard enough if you're all on the same page. But when there's distrust, it makes it even more difficult. Now, the thing was, many people didn't even understand what had happened. They didn't realize. They just thought, well, he's just bad at his job. He's just a bad leader. He's a bad manager or whatever. But they didn't realize that it was actually trust that had been broken. And that when people keep their word, there's power in it. And that power had been broken by mistrust or distrust of the leader and of one another. Now, The reason I know this is because he left and the old one came back. And she immediately diagnosed it and said, this is the problem. In fact, she had all the managers, she gave a book out to all the managers. And look, business people understand the power of trust. They understand this concept. There was a man who wrote a book, Seven Habits of Effective People, something like that. I think that's what it's called. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, right? Maybe you've heard of it. He also wrote a book called The Speed of Trust. And that was what she had us read, this book. And I thought, we were all kind of like, why is she having us read this about trust? And then we realized what had happened. Trust had been broken. And so the organization had become dysfunctional because there was a lack of trust. And so she began to build that trust back. And the organization began to function again. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, but this book, The Speed of Trust, basically says that an organization's success will move at the speed of trust in that organization. That trust between people is what makes things happen. It's what makes the ability for people to work together successfully in teams and to be able to complete projects in a business world. Trust. Amen? Now we're getting somewhere. These are all natural things that type spiritual. Amen? So she was able to identify, and we began to see and have our eyes opened that, wow, really trust is the problem here. And so we began to reestablish that trust with her at the highest level and with one another. Amen? And it got to the place where she wasn't my direct boss, but my immediate boss, we had such a trust. And when I look back on my fondest memories at that job, it's those relationships that I had with people where we had established that. Right? He trusted me, I trusted him. I knew that if I heard something, now this is spiritual, amen? If somebody else in the organization told me something about him, I knew him. I trusted him. And I didn't receive it until I heard it from him. Right? In that case, you know, backbiting and gossip and tearing down, all those things can tear down an organization. And trust just pushes it out. Right. Amen. Amen? When people are self-serving and they're only looking out for each other, for themselves, everybody knows it and nobody trusts them. And so every little thing that comes out, every little innuendo, little gossipy thing, every little dig, every little thing, right? They readily receive it because they don't have trust. They don't have a bond of trust. Now, I said this is a natural type of the spiritual. Amen? We became a good team and we accomplished way more than we would have ever imagined because we trusted each other. We didn't have to be talking to each other every day, like, you know, trying to reestablish and reconnect and make sure that, you know, he's not saying bad things about me and I'm not saying bad things about him and we're not working at odds. We were working together because we trusted each other. We trusted our character and our motives because it was demonstrated over time that our motives were right. And that we had a character and we proved that we were trustworthy. And so we began to see the power of trust in that natural sense. Now, brother, sister, this is true in the church of God. Amen. This is true in the body of Christ. Amen. This is true in our relationship to Him. There is power in trust. If you don't believe that there is power in trust, all you have to do is look into your wallet or purse or whatever and look at your money. Man, look at a dollar bill. It's a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper with some ink on it. And yet, look at the power behind it. Do you know that the U.S. dollar, the dollar bill, our entire currency, our entire economic system is built on trust? That dollar bill is meaningless, right? It has no value in and of itself. But what's printed on it is the Federal Reserve note, I think, is something is what it says, right? What does that mean? It means that it's an IOU from the government. Amen? And you trust. You trust that that Federal Reserve, that government, is going to back up that piece of paper. And you trust that you can use that piece of paper to go to someone and exchange it for something else. And you trust that they're going to accept it. And they trust when they receive it that they're going to be able to do the same. And that trust is the foundation of our entire economic system. If people stop believing that, the whole thing collapses. And now you're worried thinking, oh, I didn't realize we were on such shaky ground. Amen? That's the power of trust. If trust is broken, if that trust is broken, our entire system collapses. Amen? The power of trust holds that whole thing together. Now, like I said, these are just natural types. Amen? But think of it, let's bring it down a little closer. Think about a husband and a wife. The Bible tells us that there is power in a union between a man and a woman. Amen? Yeah. When they bind together in prayer and they're in line with God, nothing can stand before their prayer. Yeah. When a man and a woman are in agreement and there is power, God has placed power in that union. There's power to bring forth life. There's power to nurture life. There's power to hold together large groups, families of people by these unions. And that whole thing is built on trust. Amen? That relationship is built on vows that are made and that we trust the other to uphold that vow. Is that right? Amen. Those two, when they're bound together, they can weather the storms of life. They're a unified force in the spiritual world. Amen. Is that right? Amen. That's the way God has set it up. Amen. And this is speaking of Christ and the church. Amen. A unified force that is built on trust. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, there's power in that this morning. Amen. As we grow in faith and faith steps out and we lean on Him, we trust Him more. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see why it's such a terrible thing to have that trust broken. Because there's so much power in it. And you can also see why the enemy attacks it so much. Amen. In a marriage, you can see why it's such a terrible thing for that trust to be betrayed. It's one of the most horrible things that you can think of, is to betray that trust of one another. Amen? It's like an atomic bomb going off. Where we've all seen, I suppose, the pictures or videos, you know, of, thank God there's only been a couple, right? But the atomic bomb, when they go off and it just goes and goes for miles. It just, the effects of it just keep going and going. And then the fallout continues on beyond that. That's the way the destruction of trust in a marriage is. It doesn't just affect the two, it affects everyone around and associated with it, ripples out. Amen? It's destructive. Why? Because there's so much power built up into that union, in that trust. Amen? It ripples out and undermines confidence, and you wonder if you can it could ever be regained again. There's always a dark cloud, a dark shadow hanging over. And it's only really by a miracle, only God could do that, could bring restoration in that situation. But He can. But so powerful is that trust, and so powerful is its betrayal. Amen? But brother, sister, so we see how the enemy has worked to undermine trust. He is sowing distrust wherever he can. That's one of his tactics. I mean, in the natural, we see distrust being sown more than ever among the peoples and nations. Distrust in anything, in everything. Amen? I mean, you hear today, you'll hear calls in the land, and people will say, please, would somebody just trust the science? Right? Well, why are they even saying that? Because people don't trust it. Right? Because there is an inherent mistrust. And I'm not here to tell you to trust the science or not. I'm just using that as an example, right? That the reason that there is even such a phrase that's out there right now is because it's a time of distrust. Amen? Because people distrust science or scientists, or they distrust pharmaceutical companies or whatever. They distrust others because they don't believe that they have right motives or whatever. Whatever the source of it is. But Satan is building and he's sowing that distrust. And he's trying to... It's an anointing that's in the land where we would distrust one another. Amen? People don't trust scientists. They don't trust their government. And, you know, with good reason, right? I mean, there's plenty of reasons. Because everyone is lying. So how can you trust someone who lies all the time, right? Amen? When we moved as a country from a person's word being their bond, when we moved away from that, we opened the door for distrust. Amen? But brother, sister, here's the thing. We as believers cannot be caught up into that. Amen? We cannot be pulled into that whirlpool of distrust. That spirit. Amen? Where it's trying to undermine and honestly, conspiracies, they're built on distrust. You know, the whole idea of conspiracy theories, they only exist because they're feeding on distrust. Amen? They're feeding on that, and it feeds on one another, right? And it just amplifies it. But brother, sister, again, I'm not here to say anything, those things are true or not or whatever. I don't care. But the thing that I'm trying to say is we as Christians are not to be that way. Amen. We are not to be a people that distrusts. Amen. We cannot be let the spirit of distrust creep into the church. That spirit says, don't trust authority, don't trust government, don't trust anybody, don't trust anything. But we have to trust God. We have to trust His provided way. We are told we are, our power comes from that. Amen? In this society that we live in, where they say it's okay for, you know, wives to run around on their husbands and husbands to run around their wives and whatever, and just do whatever that's pleasing to you, that right there is sowing seeds of distrust, right? And it's trying to preach to you that you can't trust someone Because they're going to go and look out for their own interests. Right? But brother, sister, we cannot let that stain us. We cannot let it harden us. We cannot let the things that we go through, the trials that we go through, even when people let us down, we can't let that harden us to where we cannot trust God. Amen? We cannot let the ills of society dictate to us whether we can trust one who is trustworthy or not. Instead, we've got to be soft and meek and humble and trusting. But we trust the right one. That's the key, amen? We must and we can trust Jesus. Amen? Brother, sister, you can trust Jesus. You can trust Him completely. You don't have to hold anything back. Our whole lives, our deepest feelings, our most vulnerable, the secrets of our very heart, He knows them. Amen? And yet somehow we think we can hold back and, you know, we go and we pray as if, well, you know, we're just informing Him of what we want Him to know. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy with your whole heart. Amen? We can give our whole heart to Him. I want to read a statement from Then Jesus Came and Called. He says, now, when Jesus left the home, and He's speaking here about Lazarus and his death, all right, and Mary and Martha. And He says, Jesus left the home and why death and trouble set in. Just remember, when He leaves your home, trouble is on the road. Now, He wasn't put out here, or He just simply left because the Father drawed Him away and all hopes was gone. Now, what a sad little home. Many of us knows tonight how to sympathize with that home when death has struck our home. And you'll never know what it is until you have to go through it once. But you know that death had struck the little home and they'd sent for Him. And what a broken up home that was. The man that they had confidence in. Think about this now. Speaking of Jesus, that man that they had had confidence in. The man that they loved. The man that they'd seen heal the sick and make the blind to see. And prophesy and know the thoughts of the heart and tell the people what would happen every time. And He fit the scripture to the dot. Just exactly. So much till them scripture-loving people believed Him. And there was some of His most loyal friends. So He's speaking about they were disciples of Christ. Amen? They saw Him. They believed Him. They trusted Him. Amen? And there was some of His most loyal friends, and He let that happen. What? Let Lazarus die. He went away, and He even told His disciples that were with Him, it's good that I was here. Lazarus sleeps. Right? He's dead. He let that happen just to see what they would do. No doubt that was what it was all in the Father's mind about it. Amen? Oh, so God might let a trial come in your life just to see what you will do. Do you trust Him? Do you trust that that's the best thing for you? He said, now here they are. All hope is gone. Lazarus not only is dead, but he's been in the grave these days, and he's stinks. He's rotting his flesh. And look what he says. The man that they trusted in turned out that he wasn't what they thought he was or to be. And they were desperate. Lazarus, their brother, was dead. They could not go back to the church because they had already accepted Jesus Amen. They'd left. They'd come out. Said, come out of her, my people. And he, right? They came out. They had already accepted Jesus, the fanatic, and they had been excommunicated. They had their letter, as it was today, or their, you know, their letter of excommunication, right, is what he's trying to say in type, right? From their church, that they could no more come back. They were left without church. They were left without a friend, it looked like. The people of the city had turned them down. Their good friends that used to associate with them at church, they had no more to do with them because they accepted Jesus, this radic fanatic. So then the man that they had confidence in had flatly turned them down and would not do them a favor. In other words, that was when they sent for him, right? He didn't come the first time. And he says that they sent a second time and he still turned them down and let the man die. And be embalmed and put in the grave and buried. You talk about a dark hour. That was the darkest hour that little home had ever seen. And then Jesus come along. That's him. Them in that dark hour, see, he lets it happen sometimes. The darkest of hour. And then Jesus come along. His presence always brings new hope. This may be the darkest hour for some of you people. Maybe the doctor has given you up with cancer and the man's all done all he can do to save your life, but it's beyond his knowledge. He has no more to work with. He's done all he can do and you're going to die. It may be the darkest hour you've ever seen, but remember, it's in that dark hour when he comes along. Amen. He comes along and then when he brings it new, when he comes, it brings new hope. Amen. It brings new hope when he comes, his presence brings hope. So you see, brother, sister, in those trying times where God is testing our faith, that's when trust is tested. Amen. That's when trust and faith are cast into the fire of the forge. Amen. And the fires of the forge, they burn hot. And the steel or the metal that's being worked, it's hot in it, and it's scorched, amen? But it's burning the impurities out of it. And it comes out, and then it's hammered, amen? It's beaten into shape. But it's being formed into something. It's being shaped, and it's no longer just an old shapeless, piece of metal that's got mud and impurities and stuff going through it. Now it's being purified. Now it's being treated by the heat. It's taking an edge. It's being tempered so that it can hold that edge. Amen. You know that if you give steel an edge and it's not tempered right, it won't hold that edge. It'll be too soft. It might be as sharp as can be, but as soon as it comes up against something hard, it won't hold. But that heat, amen, that fire, it tempers it. Amen. It lets the master begin to work it into something beautiful. Something that will withstand. Something that's useful. Amen. Something that is admirable. People will admire it and say, that is a masterpiece. When trust has been tested and it's proven. Amen? Every test makes our confidence in him grow stronger. You see, he's giving this example where here was Jesus and they trusted him. Amen? But notice that he brought something out and you can see it in their thinking in the scripture. They trusted him as far as they understood him. Right? Because what they believed was, this is God, he's the Messiah. They had seen him heal. They had seen him do wonders and miracles. And so what they were thinking was, he's going to come and heal my brother Lazarus. And they trusted him according to their own thinking of him. Right? And when that didn't happen, then that's when the crutch was kicked out. Right? What they had been leaning on was kicked out from under them. And brother, sister, that's what trials do for us. It shows us when we're trusting in the wrong thing, when we're leaning on our own thinking, when we're leaning on our own understanding. They believed that he was going to come and heal them, and when he didn't, they said, that's it, that's over. Amen? He came and he said, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? And they said, yay, Lord, we know that he will come up in the resurrection. We know that. You see the limit of their own understanding. They weren't trusting him. They were trusting what they thought of him. And so he said, but I am the resurrection and the life. Amen? So, brother, sister, we have to lean on him. No matter what happens. Amen. Amen. Because we know that everybody is not a Lazarus. Yes. Some go by the way of the grave. And even then we trust him. Right. Whether he raises one up or doesn't raise one up, we know. We know that we know that we know that he is in control and that he is working all things together for our good, that he is trustworthy. Amen. It's like a husband and wife. You know that when a man and a woman get married and they're early in their marriage, they exchange vows and there's a trust that's built there. Amen. But I guarantee you that that trust is nowhere near as strong as it is for that old couple that's been walking together for 50 plus years. Why? Because they've been through things together. Right? They've been through situations and they saw their spouse and they saw how they reacted. Now again, it's a natural type, right? They saw how they reacted and they proved themselves trustworthy. And so their trust just grows in one another. That's the only way that that can happen. Amen. Brother, sister, we lean on him more and more and more. Amen. You can't lean on your spouse in the spiritual realm. You have to lean on him. Amen. That's just, I just brought that up as a type. It's a type of our relationship with him. The more things that we go through, the more we realize that we can trust Jesus. Amen. That he is trustworthy in all situations. Amen. Let me read to you. I got a little bit more here. Jeremiah 17. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Think about what he's saying there. Cursed be the man who trusteth in man. You know why he's cursed? Because he's always going to be disappointed. And maketh flesh his arm, or his arm to lean on, amen? His strength, whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, that trust that was meant for God be placed on flesh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. His life will be a desert, desolate, disappointment. Your life will be a desert of dryness and disappointment the more you trust in flesh. He said, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from the yielding fruit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Why? There's a source of strength from underneath. You realize that a Christian, brother, sister, is a source. Amen. And a moment ago, I was speaking about distrust and things and in the land around us. But we are to be a source. Amen. When things are happening in this world and it's a dryness Amen. And there's no good thing around us. Yet we are not to be careful. It says, they shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So even when those around you are lying, cheating, not trustworthy, yet you, a true believer who's founded in the living Word of God, you're generous with your fruit. Amen. You're generous with your love. You're generous with your compassion. You're generous with your trust. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that you should trust politicians, right? But you trust God. Yeah. Amen. And that's why, you know, when it talks about how we would treat one another, when we give to one another, when we serve our masters, right? When it says, he said to slaves, serve your masters, not because you trust your master, because you trust God. You serve your master as you serve God. Right? And that was an example for slaves and masters. In our lives, it's our example for our work and our bosses, amen, and our relationships. Yes. We work for our bosses as we work unto the Lord. Amen. Why? Because we've got a fountain. Yes. Amen? We're not trusting in the arms of man. Right. We're not trusting in flesh. We're trusting in God. Amen. 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 And continuing with our work example, I'm not going to be blessed at work because of the whims of a man. I'm going to be blessed because of my Heavenly Father, because I trust in Him. And I know if I do things His way, everything else will work out. Don't be like the desert out there. We're to be a tree that has living water. Our roots go down and we're pulling water out of that everlasting fountain. And so we are bearing fruit where there is no fruit to be found. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Flesh will fail. We cannot lean on it. Even when we don't realize it, sometimes we lean on it. But God in His mercy sometimes will allow something to come and kick the prop out from under you. Amen? Amen. And you're propped up. You've been leaning on this. You've been leaning on flesh or leaning on your own understanding. And God will allow something to kick it out. And suddenly you find yourself on the floor, laying on the ground, looking up. What happened? I thought I was trusting God, but you were trusting flesh. Amen. And God just allowed you to see that, and it's His grace. And so now, don't just lay there on the floor and wallow in it. Get up. Amen. But lean on the right thing. Amen. We have to discern, brother, sister. This is important because we've been talking about the right things to lean on. Amen. Now, God uses people. God uses flesh. Okay? So we got to understand, we have to rightly divide. He uses men and women, but we must be sure that we're leaning on Him even as He uses someone else to minister to us. Amen? You understand the difference. You might have a parent that's strong in the Lord. And you don't realize it, but you've been leaning on them most of your life in some area or another. But you lean on, you gain strength from them. Well, are you gaining strength from them or God in them? That's the question. Because someday that parent's going to, if the Lord tarries, they're going to go to their reward. Right? And many times we see in people and families and, a parent, a patriarch, a matriarch, right? Well, someone who's strong in the faith and everybody kind of leans on them. Uh-huh. Amen. And then the Lord takes them home and everybody falls on the floor because they've been leaning on Him and they don't realize it. Amen. Amen? Yeah. When they should have been leaning on the God that was in them. Amen. Yes, it was God ministering through them. But when they pass on, God hasn't left. He's still there. Amen? He's still here. It's true in ministries, brother, sister. When the prophet was on the scene, that was God ministering through that flesh. Amen? But people began to lean on the flesh. They begin to lean on the prophet's flesh, just like they did with Moses. Just like they did with any prophet. They did that with Jesus. They begin to lean on the prophet's flesh and, you know, go to him for this or for that. And then when the prophet is taken off the scene, what's left? Well, Jesus never left. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that was in the man ministering is still here. He's just ministering through a different way. Amen? But you see, people are so caught up. Now, in our day, they're still leaning on his flesh. Even when he's not here. Amen? God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You got to go on with God. Amen? We lean on that. We appreciate our brothers and our sisters, and we recognize that God uses them. We recognize that God uses ministry. We recognize that God uses a pastor, but we don't lean on the flesh. We lean on the God that's using the flesh. Amen. Brother, sister, we can trust God in our brother and sister. Amen. But you're not trusting your brother and sister, you're trusting God in them. I don't even trust my own flesh. But I trust God. I trust the Holy Spirit to overcome my flesh. Amen? And when we begin to trust each member, just think about it. If the we often use the example of a body. Amen? The body of Christ is a body, a many-membered body. Right? Paul brings that out. But just think if one part of the body didn't trust the other. What happens? They try to do their job. Right? What if the muscles didn't trust the bones? The muscles trying to do the bones' job too? Right? The nose doesn't trust the eyes? I don't think you know what you're talking about, eyes. I don't trust you. The nose can't be the eye. The muscles can't be the bones. They have to trust that the maker designed the body, to each part, to do its part. And brother, sister, we can't get caught up in this one's not doing this and this one's not. Well, what about you? You do your part and let God handle the rest. Trust him to take care of his church. Amen. Then we can lean on him. Now, look, the muscle has to lean on the bones. The bones hold the whole thing up. Right? They all have to lean on one another, but they're leaning on each other in their rightful position. And the type there is that they lean on every member of the church as God works through them. Not on their flesh. Right? If you're relying on somebody's flesh, and, you know, people rely on people's charisma or their abilities or even their compassion, right? Look to God. Right. Look to him. Now, look for him to work through a brother or a sister, but lean on him. Amen? Yes. Amen. Quickly now, he says, this is from the message, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, and the paper went on to read, so he's speaking about there was an earthquake. And before the earthquake, all the animals, they were surprised because all the animals acted strangely, right? The birds that had nests in like rock walls, they flew away from the rock walls, and the animals all went to the centers of the pastures. There was something coming, right? And it turned out that sometime later there was an earthquake, and they were all okay because they had done the things that they had done. So he says the paper went on to read that all the little birds that makes up their nests in the crevices of the rocks and things, they flew out into the fields and sat in the trees. And the sheep and the cattle that stood around the big walls went out into the field and leaned against each other for about a day. And all at once there come an earthquake and shook all the walls down. And then for a day, the little birds stayed away and the cattle stayed in the field. And finally, they began to come back around the shade again. At what part of the walls was left? What was it? The same God that could call them into the ark. Amen. Could call them away from the walls. They'd have lost their lives if they had stayed around there. And surely, if the Holy Spirit can still have inspiration and by instinct direct an animal away from danger and a bird, how much more ought he to do it with the children born of the Spirit of God to get away from the things that's not godly, to stay away from it? He says, come out of it. Come out. Lean on each other. Oh, I love that old story, the song, "We're Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." I like that. Just trust Him. Simplicity of the trust. Just lean your shoulders against His and adore Him with all the adoration that you can pour out and walk with Him daily, and now you'll see Him. They weren't sitting around, those birds and animals and stuff, they weren't sitting around thinking, man, I got to be careful whenever an earthquake comes, and I got to make sure I'm not by this wall. Right? They weren't thinking about that. God was watching out for him. And they trusted that instinct. They didn't, I mean, animals don't have a thought like that, right? There's just some instinct in them that said, get away. God speaking to them. Brother, sister, that's how we should trust him. Amen. We're not always trying to figure it out and try and manipulate our way through a circumstance or manipulate our way through a trial. Just trust him. Amen. Let him work it out. Amen. He says something and he says, lean on one another. What was that? It was others that were hearing that same voice. Others that were leaning on his understanding. And they were leaning on one another. It wasn't that they were leaning on their own strength, but they were there because they were listening to that voice. Amen. Brother, sister, we've got to learn to trust. And everything out in the world is teaching us not to. But we have to trust God. We have to trust Jesus. Amen. If we've been hurt, then even more so. It's more of a challenge. I trust you. I promise you, it wasn't Jesus that hurt you. Amen. If it was someone speaking on his behalf, it might have been a minister, it might have been a pastor, it might have been another Christian who is claiming the name of Christ, but that wasn't Jesus. Because he'll never fail you. Amen. The enemy gets in and he tries to hurt people by breaking trust. Amen. But we have to lay that aside and trust God. We have to trust Jesus. We have to fully rely on him. Brother, sister, there's not one of us that can save ourselves. We can't do anything without him. And this trust is works. This is active. It's pushing back anything that tries to break it. It's not listening. Amen? You know that gossip tries to break trust. Amen? And part of trusting God is pushing that out. It's actively pushing away the enemy's attempt to destroy trust in our God. To destroy trust in him working in his church. You know, maybe we will read that to you tonight. But Brother Brown said that's the hardest thing, is to get one man to listen to another. Is for one man to realize that God is using another man. And that it's not the man that you're receiving it. You're receiving God. Amen. Amen. Trust is active. And brother, sister, this morning, he's worthy of that trust. Don't you agree? Don't you believe that he'll never disappoint you? He'll never let you down. Amen? He always knows what's best for you. In every situation. And he's putting what's best for you first. He's putting what's best for you above what your flesh wants. He's putting what's best for you above his needs, his wants. He came and gave himself for you to prove that. Amen? You believe that this morning? Amen. Is he worthy of our trust? Let's stand as we just read this last scripture. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." You know, I actually kind of, I want to pause here just for a second and just kind of put this in. I feel like sometimes in the Psalms like this, I feel like this is David giving himself a talking to. Amen? Sometimes you got to do this, right? Listen up. Amen? We're going to church today. I know you don't want to, but we're going. Right? He said, "Look, my soul, wait on God." Amen. For my expectation is from him. Amen. I'm not looking at men from any ex. I'm not expecting anything. If I get anything great, it's gravy. But I'm expecting great things from God. Amen. He only is my rock. A rock is a firm place. It's a hiding place. It's a place where when everything around you is shaking and the wind is blowing, the rock stands firm. He only is that place and my salvation. He is my defense. That means I don't have to try and defend myself. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength. Where do you get that strength? It comes from him. Amen. We've been hearing it, brother, sister. Strength through weakness. Amen. Our brother's been preaching it. Strength through weakness. Why? I trust him. I trust his strength, not mine. Amen. In strength, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. And then, once he talks to himself, then he preaches to everybody else. Trust in him at all times, you people. All times. Not just in the good times, or not just in the bad times. All times. Trust in him in all times. Pour out your hearts before him. Amen. We started out this morning with the scripture that says, "With all thine heart." And we end it with David saying, "Take everything that's in your heart and pour it out before him." Amen. Completely open and vulnerable and honest in God. You know my heart. You know everything. I pour it all out to you. I trust you completely with my heart, my soul. If you don't save me, nobody will. But I know you will. Amen. Pour out your heart before him, for he is a refuge for us. Amen. Brother, sister, in this time, he has a church. He has a body. He has a bride that's looking to him and no other. There is a group that will stand on that day, and their testimony will be, "I trusted Jesus. I trusted him above anything else. I trusted Jesus." There are many today who say, "Oh, I trust Jesus," and you can tell that they don't. You can tell by the way they live their life or their works that they don't trust him. Why? Because they're always trying to take the wheel. Amen? But this bride, she knows that he's the only one able. And he promised that he would see her through. He promised it, brother, sister, and he's faithful to his word. You can trust him this morning. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you this morning, Lord. How we thank you, Lord, for your word and for your presence. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that you've made yourself known to us, Lord, and in such a way, Lord, that we can grab a hold of the hem of your garment this morning. And like that little woman that had that blood issue, she had tried everything possible. She had tried to lean on every kind of arm of flesh. But in the end, the only thing that satisfied was to touch Jesus. And Lord, you didn't betray that confidence. Lord, she was healed just from one touch of the Master. Lord, I pray for your children here this morning, anyone that would be listening in, Lord, here, or maybe in their homes, wherever, Lord. We need to examine our lives. Make sure that we're not leaning on the wrong things. We're not trusting in the wrong things, but that we're leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe we've gone through hard trials. Lord, we know many have lost loved ones. Many have gone through things, Lord. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And sometimes those shaking times, Lord, are the times when you can come through it all, Lord, and show yourself in a more clear way, Father, where we realize that, Lord, I was leaning on a person. I was leaning on something that I had made up in my mind. I was leaning on my own idea or my own understanding, Lord. I was leaning on my own strength. I was leaning on a family member. I was leaning on an arm of flesh. But, Lord, I want to lean on you. Oh, brother, sister, when we come to that place, that's where we need to be. Then we come out stronger than we ever were before. Out of the broken ashes of loss and trial, then rises power. Because now we're leaning on the right things. It's been revealed to us, and we can see, I was trying to do this on my own. Here, this area of my life, I was kind of going it by myself. But Lord, I'm leaning on you now. I know I can't make it. I know I have no strength. I'm leaning on you this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would bless your children this morning. If anyone has that testimony this morning, Father, I pray that they would just wake up to it, Lord, and be strengthened, Lord. This is not a message of discouragement. This is a message of encouragement, that we have a place to run to, that we have a fountain that we can draw from. Just sometimes we draw from the wrong things, but Lord, help us. Help us, oh God, to draw from that everlasting fountain. Pray that you just bless your word this morning, Lord. Just this simple little thought, Lord. I pray that it would just stir in the hearts of your children, Lord, that it would find a bedding ground. Lord, that it would find a heart that's full of faith this morning and willing to water that word and to live it out, oh God. I thank you, Lord. I just pray that you bless your children, Lord. Help each one, Lord, to surrender that much more, Father. We see your soon coming, Lord. The time is approaching. And Lord, we just want to be ready, Lord. We want everything, Lord, that's not eternal, just burned out of our lives, oh God. How we love you, we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In the arms of Christ. Amen. I don't know the words to that. You can put that up.